That was fun. Let's pray together. Now, you who hold us all, may your Spirit speak to us all, and may all of us in some measure find a way to say yes. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. 11 days ago, a painting was sold at auction at a record-breaking price for a painting. $453 million. Almost $500 million for a painting. It's by Leonardo da Vinci, and it's called Salvator Mundi, Savior of the World. It's an image of Christ from the chest upward, facing the viewer, his right hand raised in blessing, his left hand holding a crystal orb that represents the world. Christ holding the world in his hand. More amazing than the price of it is what the painting has been through. For centuries, it was lost. And more than once, it was painted over. A Da Vinci painted over. Somebody trying to fix it. No idea what they were working on. And then in 1958, somebody bought it for $125. Just 12 years ago, someone looked again and suspected it was a Da Vinci. 6 years of careful restoration and identification, and here it is now, Da Vinci's Christ in royal blue, gazing at us, inscrutable expression, not quite smiling, sovereign, mysterious, blessing, and holding the world. Many who have stood before that painting, art critics included, have found it breathtaking, transcendent, powerfully a spiritual work. Others have held a different view. Not authentic, say some. And one critic has said, even if authentic, it's unimpressive. All of it seems fitting to the subject matter. Most of our images of Christ don't change. Christ teaching and healing, Christ in a manger or on a cross or rising from the dead, but Christ eternally sovereign, holding all the world, that one gets lost or distorted, sold cheap. And when that perspective does get reclaimed and made right, some people are moved and others find it unimpressive. Which is exactly how it was from the very beginning. This was the big joke when he was crucified. Soldiers of the empire made a crown out of thorn branches and pressed it into his scalp, threw a purple robe over his shoulders, bowed to him, "Hail, King," they said, then hoisted him up on a cross for everybody to see, naked, spikes through his feet and hands, pathetic, moaning, and that ridiculous crown, and over his head they tacked up the sign, "King." They must have almost fallen down laughing. hilarious joke of a king. And that is what the early Christians were up against when they tried to tell their faith that Jesus was God's exalted Christ, sovereign over all the world. How pathetic they must have seemed, and how stupidly treasonous. As an actual emperor with his cronies and his wealth and his massive military, made it indisputable who actually held the world in his grip. Still, they kept up their absurd, brave little witness against that power and all other powers like it. They preached it and sang it in lines like the ones we heard this morning. God seated Jesus at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head of all things. How on earth could such a thing be said? When the world shows no evidence at all of being ruled by anything but greed and brute force and lies and blowhards in high office, by terrorists and corrupted religion all over the world, by journalists, politicians, and entertainers who turn out to be predators and creeps. All of that has been the rule, the power, the authority, the dominion. And Christ is over all of them, head of them. They're all under his feet. Well, they never got the message, did they? And maybe any picture of Christ holding the world should show the thing on fire. Or maybe we should just concede that this whole thing was all along a wish dream. Pathetic. Or we could begin to think of Christ as king in a very different way. Did you know there's a story in the Gospels where the crowds tried to crown him as king and he ran away from them and hid? He never wanted to be a king. Never wanted power, not as we understand power. According to him, he was here to bring life to the world, life in abundance. He was the emissary of joy and came as a servant washing feet. He lifted the faces of the poor, laid his hands on the sick, brought good news to outcast people, declared forgiveness, urged repentant living, kindled the dream of the kingdom of God, said, "It's here among you now." And to everybody who would listen, he taught how to be true citizens of that kingdom, forgiving, compassionate, peaceable, generous, fearlessly trusting God, and sharing good news with everybody. At times he was severe, especially toward religious hypocrisy that judged and excluded certain other people. But that too was his kindness, and his kindness was miraculous, willing to suffer the very worst for the sake of joy and for the freedom of the world. And so the soldiers of the empire, in their way, were right that the dying figure they had crowned with thorns was king and will always be. which should tell us all we need to know about the hands that hold the world. Love. Ferocious love. Sovereign. Compassion wider than the universe, holding every atom of this little world. They are gentle hands and kind and terribly familiar with suffering for love's sake. The hands of one who knows a lie when it is told and is affronted by betrayals of others and personally bears the pain of the victimized. One also from whom there will come a reckoning. But this Christ will not fix by force. This Christ is unarmed, grieves and absorbs violence, but will not wield it. So why is it that Christians so often have assumed that Christ as sovereign over all is somehow different from the one who walked among us in the flesh with such compassion and great humility and whose embrace would exclude no one but would force no one either? That is the one who holds this fragile, beautiful, bleeding world. So of course it doesn't look like all is well, and the rulers and authorities and powers and dominions wreak all kinds of havoc and deal out all kinds of death, but a cosmic mercy holds all the world. And love's invincible power to liberate and transform. This is the only final power. Its victory is already won and inevitably will have the final word. Hatred, bigotry, meanness, tyranny, lies, abuse, they will all be defeated, and it will be love and only love that defeats them. For it is love, sovereign, wider than this universe by infinity, that holds every atom of this world. Marion Williams was one of the greatest gospel singers of all time. She knew plenty of hardship herself. Her childhood family lived in such poverty, she had to leave school at age 9 to take a job. All her life, or for many years, she had to work menial jobs. And all her life, she endured the indignities of racism, especially in the South where she lived. But she sang. She sang on street corners. She sang in churches. She sang finally in great auditoriums, sang that hands on the hips kind of gospel. My favorite is her version of "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands," which is why we sang it a while ago. I love it because she made up some verses that are sassy. Her version, with just gospel piano and drums and that Hammond B3 gospel organ, starts like ours does, just jazzier. "He's got the whole world in his hand, got the whole wide world in his hand," etc. But then this: "He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got your money, too, in his hands. He owns all the banks in his hand, got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got all the presidents in his hands, got the kings and queens in his hand. He's got everybody in his hands, the whole wide world in his hands." Then she finishes the song with this. And another thing, he's got Alabama, yes he does, in his hands. And Louisiana child in his hands. And all Mississippi right in his hands. The whole wide world in his hands. Now go on. He's got the White House in his hands and the Congress and Wall Street and the Kremlin and North and South Korea and the church and mosques and synagogues and temples and the woodlands and rivers and prairies and the children and every one of you and me, all of us, every last one, all of them in the hands of love. Let us dare to believe that that is true. Let us lift our faces and call Christ's love our sovereign. And let us take the knee for him and bow our hearts to him and sing for him. Let our hearts crown him with gratefulness and wonder. And above all, let us get up to serve the ultimate love that holds the world and live our lives with courage to speak the truth in love and be a voice for justice and hold fast to what is right and true and share good news and lose ourselves in the hope-filled, joy-filled, generous life, which is the only life that holds and heals and redeems the world to the end. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.